Welcome back to the BSD YouTube show. Your host, as always, Patrick Kribler, and tonight I'm joined by Tim and Jared. Fellas, it has been a tumultuous, wild couple days for Penn State football and really the university at large. Just to take 30, 60 seconds here and kind of paint the picture for where we're at in case, you know, people listening to this are, you know, maybe they have lives and they aren't on Twitter all the time. And I mean, God bless them if that's the case. But Pat Kraft starts out on the search, you're going to cast a wide net, talk to a bunch of people, interview a bunch of people, try to go after Mike Elko, Caleb Boyer, right? Fine. That's all good. At some point, he has to pick, who do I want to be the next head coach, realistically? Then we get the mystery candidate. Ooh, Penn State has a mystery candidate. That mystery candidate, which turns out for good reason, Pat Kraft was trying to keep it a mystery, was Kalani Sitake. Whether people agreed with the decision of is Kalani Sitake a good fit for Penn State? Is he a good candidate? Right, doesn't greatly matter. At the end of the day, that's who Pat Kraft decided they wanted to move forward with after weeks and weeks of talking. From all accounts, Penn State and Pat Kraft thought that Kalani Sitake was coming to Penn State. Nothing was ever signed. I don't know how that all works. I can't, like, from maybe we get a lawyer on here or something. I don't understand the legality of all this stuff, right? Whether Kalani could have signed something, whether Penn State should have had Kalani sign something. In either case, Kraft got ahead of his skis, apparently told some other candidates, we're not going with you, we're going with Sitake. And Sitake was telling BYU commits, don't sign on Wednesday. I'm probably going somewhere else. There was allegedly a meeting scheduled with BYU players on Monday afternoon where he was going to let them know that he was going to be taking the Penn State job. That all blows up. The 12 apostles get involved. The crumble cookie CEO gets involved. They keep Kalani Sitake. And then we find ourselves here, and I did a podcast last night, and I said, the next 24 hours, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of where Penn State is going. We have an idea. It is a messy one. It seems as though we're between Brian Daboll, who Pat Kraft wants, and Terry Smith, who the boosters want. And we'll talk more about Brian Daboll, and we'll talk more about Terry Smith a little bit later on. But just painting the picture for where we're at, where 2 months ago, Pat Kraft and Penn State makes a decision to move on from James Franklin, which was the correct decision. I don't want to say everything since then has gone wrong, because I think by and large, the search was like fine until Kraft decided that Sitake was locked in when he was never actually locked in. And that was a grave, grave mistake. So again, we'll talk more about Brian Daboll. We'll talk more about Terry Smith and what Pat Kraft's future is, where we go from here. But just before we get to all that, I just want to get your thoughts on the Kraft-Sitake dynamic situation scenario. I mean, I think all Penn State fans are, you know, very much blaming Pat Kraft in this. But Tim, we'll start with you. What is your whole takeaway with the Sitake debacle?
All I got to say is Pat Kraft's lucky I'm not the president of Penn State, because I would have fired his ass last night and taken over the search myself and gotten a few people together to form a committee, which really should have been what they did in the first freaking place with this. You know, I was thinking of it just dawned upon me. Pat Kraft is like the Pete Hanks of athletic directors. He went out there right after firing Franklin, talks a big game like, yeah, we're going to be aggressive in the portal and NIL and toughness and blah, 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 win national championships. And, you know, and then he goes, tries to pry a guy who is like a lifer at BYU, not just a BYU lifer, a Provo, Utah lifer, lifelong member of the LDS church, you know, just beloved member of the community. I mean, you know, he played for a legend there in Lavelle Edwards, who's basically BYU's equivalent of Joe Paterno. And, you know, I mean, to zero in on him, well, certainly was a choice. I mean, I get, okay, you like a style of play, make sure you have some backup options ready to be lined up, because you are trying to pry away a guy who's like BYU royalty. And, you
assume
know,
the worst. always assume the worst.
Yes. And well,
things
always are assume the worst. Always have a backup plan ready. And he clearly had no backup plan. I mean, just absolute malpractice. And I mean, again, he should be gone like yesterday. But you know, it sounds to me from what I've read that the upper level administrators are intervening in this process now. So perhaps his days are numbered as athletic director, but that's a whole nother discussion we can get into.
Jarrett, your thoughts on the Satake debacle, as I called it before?
Yeah, I mean, Tim summed it up pretty well, because I had the same thought when we learned that he was the mystery man, and I wouldn't say inevitable, but the likely choice to be tapped as Penn State's next coach. But you know, he played fullback for BYU back in the day. He's been around I just read the comment.
Tim does love doing that when you're in the middle of the black.
But yeah, he's a member of the LDS. He's lived in Provo pretty much his whole life. He's talked about how much moving there as a child, and just his dad is still on the sidelines with him at the games that he has, and just how bonded he is to that community and that university and that town.
As a kid, used to sit outside the stadium because they couldn't afford cable.
Yeah, they would sit outside the games and listen to the PA announcer and follow the game that way. So when I heard that, I thought, is this a ploy to you know, get a big extension? Or, you know, even if he's thinking, okay, this is my chance to move on to the big time and a national title, even like if that was his thinking, my thought was, I think this guy might get cold feet before he signs anything and decide, you know, I'm already where I want to be and I'm going to stay here. So, you know, as Tim said, if you don't have anything in writing and you're dismissing other people and letting them go elsewhere, then, you know, that's just...
That's
why we're just in this mess.
I was the one who didn't say the name. The rumor, allegedly, depends who you believe, because there's a lot out there right now, was that Kraft let Bob Chesney know that he wasn't going to be the pick. And that is why Bob Chesney, whether he officially signed or hasn't signed yet, like, too far along the process for Chesney to be like, well, I can't, like, go back on it now. And from Chesney's perspective, it's probably like, okay, like, you... this is a mess now. Like, this is not the Penn State I thought I was going to be going into. So.
Yeah, and there's something going on, because even if it's safe to assume that he did, you know, pass along that word that we have our person, but, you know, even if that's not the case, there's something going on with all these other targets, you know, just quickly lined up and signed elsewhere, you know? So there's something going on behind the scenes, whether he did just tell everyone we have our guy and they put all their eggs in one basket, or there's just something messy going on behind the scenes is kind of chasing people away, legitimate candidates. But yeah, it's basically resolved in this huge mess that we find ourselves in now.
Yeah, it's, again, I don't understand the legality of stuff, like when they sign the contract, when the board of trustees approves it, is there a signature after the board of trustees approves, right? Like what the actual like steps are. But clearly Kraft did not do this correctly. How, like, truthfully, when was the last time we got, like, the Pete Thamel tweet of, you know, so-and-so program, so-and-so coach had mutual interest in each other, and this program has targeted this guy, and they're working on a deal, but nothing is signed yet? Almost always, you know, whether it's a day later, whether it's an hour later, we then get the tweet of, okay, they came to an agreement. Because Thamel's not tweeting that out without Penn State's sign off, and he's not tweeting it out without Satake's sign off. So it just, if you're Pat Kraft, you have to get that done. You have to get that done. And that is like my issue, right? Not Satake's fit, not the cultural fit, the geography, right? Whether that's a good hire or a bad hire, like that doesn't greatly matter to me. And I wrote about this for Black Shoe Diaries today, but like, the point of these coaching searches, as much as programs might say, it's to get a better coach, right? Ideally, you get a better coach, but a lot of the time, it's a reset, it's to re-energize the fan base and to bring some hope. And that is where Pat Kraft has failed miserably, because now I know that Brian Daboll isn't everyone's favorite candidate. I personally like Brian Daboll a lot when he was let go by the Giants. He moved pretty far up, and I would say certainly into my top five, if not my top three. I very much wanted him. I'm at the point now where it's like the excitement of a Daboll hire wouldn't even be there for me. And if I could just go ahead, Jared, and then I'll let you go.
This is the thing that's really getting to me is that, you know, we talked about this, what is this, day 52 of the search, and we all jumped on, you know, an hour or so after Franklin's fired, and we talked about, you know, this program needs to go in direction, we need hope, you know, I don't know how many times I think all three of us expressed that, we need hope that we can get over the hump, and we can beat the Ohio States, and we can beat the Oregons, but now we're in a situation where, you know, any day now we're going to be watching a press conference where they're going to put on a straight face and pretend that, you know, this guy who everyone knows is our maybe eighth or ninth choice. Yeah, this is the guy that's going to get us over the hump and win us a national championship.
Yep. No. And other than like Brian Kelly and sort of Pat Fitzgerald, they could have hired Manny Diaz. They could have hired Matt Campbell. They could have hired, right? Name all these candidates that I would have considered like, oh, C's or low B's. I still at least would have been like, okay, at least Pat Kraft is going to put on, you know, a good face at the press conference. Instead, we can't even do that. Like, we can't even have the happiness and the hope and lying to ourselves and being gullible because we know all this. We have seen what's happened with Satake, and now we're seeing what is happening with even now this at this point with the Terry Smith versus Pat Kraft versus Brian Daboll whole thing that we'll get to in a second. I have this to say about Pat Kraft and about another man, James Franklin. I love Penn State football more than I love anything in the world, to be completely honest with you. Not people, but things. Things, to be clear.
You're engaged, Patrick. Be careful here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hopefully she's not watching. Right. I love Penn State football. This is what this is my hobby. Blogging about it, talking about it, tweeting about it. Don't miss a second of any game. The fact that these two idiots, James Franklin and Pat Kraft, have made me look like a complete jackass for the last year. The last freaking year. Ever since we beat SMU and Boise State, who freaking raw. We then lose in embarrassing fashion. Well, somewhat embarrassing fashion. To Notre Dame, we bounce back and we hire Jim Knowles. We pay him $3.5 million to come be the defense coordinator here. And everything else since then has been a complete and total failure. Recruiting sucked. Joey O'Brien, Kari Adams, Luke Waifel, right? Swing and a miss for James Franklin in the summer because he didn't want to upset Antoine Belgrave Shorter by bringing in Joey O'Brien, have Joey O'Brien make more money than him. James, I hate you for that. We then get to the season. Penn State ranked number two. Most complete team in the country, the most complete team that James Franklin has ever had, national championship expectations. We lose to Oregon, top five team, top 10 team, like we always do, and then we embarrass ourselves even more. We said, you know what? You know what's more embarrassing than continuing to lose to top 10 teams? We're going to lose to UCLA as a 24.5-point favorite. And then we're going to lose.
That did not have a lead the entire point of the season up until then.
Yes. And then we're going to lose to Northwestern at homecoming. James, I hate you for that. And then we get Pat Kraft. And he does the right thing. He fires James Franklin. Because we needed a reset. We needed to be re-energized. And this idiot can't even do a coaching search for a top 15 job where you're going to pay them $11 million a year. And you're going to have $25 million in being able to pay your roster. This guy can't even get a coach. Hire Matt Campbell. Hire Manny Diaz. Instead, we go after a Polynesian Mormon, which, by the way, I love Polynesians, and I very much enjoyed the Mormon culture for the 27 hours I was. And he can't even get that through. Like, my God, you guys are such idiots. And then I look like an idiot in the process because I'm on Twitter being excited about Penn State football, being excited about James Franklin as my head coach, being excited about Pat Kraft as my AD. No wonder James went on and on and on about alignment. These two idiots were made for each other. They're both morons. And Neely Bendapudi, who tried to leave to go to NC State, she's an idiot too. So Dweedledee and Dweedledum, and if there's another Dweedle, all three of them They can all leave. James is already gone, and he's having fun with his little crumble cookies as he signs the 24th best recruiting class. Way to go, James. Couldn't even get Kevin Brown or Matt Sieg, the two actual best Penn State commits. They went to West Virginia. Pat Kraft can join them. Neely Pendaputi can go wherever the hell she wants. Get the hell out of my university. That's all I have to say about that.
Amen, Brother Patrick. Got a couple, some questions, actually interesting question here. I didn't hear this one, but Grundy asks, are you guys hearing about Kraft talking to West Point head coach and offensive coordinator as a package deal? I haven't been paying too close attention the last few hours, been trying to ignore the noise, but I don't know, Pat, Jared, maybe you guys saw anything, any rumors on the internets about this?
The only person I see mention Todd Monken was Dave Portnoy. So I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Dave Portnoy is exactly the best source on it.
Yeah, I can't say I've heard anything about those names. But at this point, I mean, we're getting into kind of uncharted territory, and there probably are some names that we should be considering outside of Dabble and Smith, really. So who knows?
Ryan Parsons, actually one of our fellow Blackshirt Diaries colleagues. Hey, guys, longtime listener, friend, and caller, are we effed? I'll hang up and listen. Well, Ryan, short term, yes. At least until we find a coach and then that coach gets to work on meeting with the players, you know, working the portal or trying to, you know, which can include trying to convince people who were committed to Penn State originally and flipped elsewhere to maybe reconsider. I'm thinking mostly the Pennsylvania kids, especially like Matt Sieg or Kevin Brown. So
that actually puts us in a good spot for where we kind of want to transition to, which is where Penn State goes from here. Tim, you already said that you would. It sounds like you're on the hire Terry Smith, fire Pat Kraft.
Yes.
Jared, where are you at this point? If you were Neely Pendaputi and you weren't looking to go to NC State like she was about 7 months ago, what would you do?
I really don't even know where they go at this point. That's why I was saying I wonder if there's other names out there that we're not considering, and maybe this is just a case of they fail their way to the top, where, you know, hiring a head coach in college football is kind of similar to drafting quarterback in the first round, that it's a very inexact science, and sometimes guys who look like a surefire thing. I mean, look at Scott Frost when he went to Nebraska. We thought, well, he's going to, you know, really have them humming and get them close to the top of the Big Ten, maybe win the Big Ten here in a couple of years, and he, you know, failed spectacularly. But, you know, that's just one example. So, you know, maybe there's this weird situation where, you know, we end up with someone who actually is a phenomenal choice that we just, you know, we just get out of pure dumb luck, and it just happens to work out. So I really don't know where I'm at, because I can't say I'm terribly high on Dabble. You know, I don't even really like the thought of hiring Terry Smith, just because I feel like that hire, and this is nothing against Terry Smith, but I feel like that hire is kind of putting him in a situation where, you know, next year, and this was even if, you know, the season went well, Penn State's preparing for a playoff run, and Franklin's still around, the roster's going to be having a huge reset next year regardless. Now, yeah, definitely will with everything going on. So, you know, you're looking at taking a step back next year. So if they just kind of hire Terry Smith because they don't really have any other options to go, I just kind of feel like he's being set up for failure. And maybe next year when they go 7-5 or 6-6 or 2 years from now, and you know, they're 8-4, then, you know, he's just going to get canned, and it's almost going to feel like he just, even though he had the interim tag removed, it's going to kind of feel like it never really was. You know, and I just, he doesn't really deserve to be put in that situation, honestly.
Yeah, that's right. What you said about Terry is kind of what I just think in general at this point, of like any candidate set up for failure. Mm-hmm. Like, this is such a non-ideal situation to be going into. Optics, like, when I say optics, like, I don't care about the national media optics. Like, they were probably going to clown the hire no matter what, because unless we hired Marcus Freeman or Ryan Day, the only two people who went farther than the semifinal last year, right? It's always like, oh, that's a step down. So I don't care about the optics. Like, nationally, I do think optics of the fan base is important. Like, as we talked about when James got fired, like, that was a big reason why, was the fact that the fan base, what I would say conservatively 85% of it, if right, if you put a poll out, do you want James Franklin fired? Like, I would say 85% conservatively would have said yes. So, like, the optics and the voice of the fan base, like, is important in things like this. And people now know, right? People are mad at Pat Kraft, rightfully so, because he's an idiot. And they know that if Brian Daboll is the choice, that means Pat Kraft is still in power. And I just don't know, right? In a day and age where, like, boosters are more important maybe than ever when it comes to raising funds and NIL, like, we talk about, like, Penn State having improved NIL war chest and stuff like that. Like, do we know if that's even still there? Like, that's like part of the equation and part of the calculus in all of this. And, like, again, why Brian Daboll, someone I like. Like, I like the idea of, one, college football, whether we like it or not, is going more and more towards like an NFL model anyway. So I did like the idea of getting someone that has, you know, not just totally been in the college game. I like someone that has, you know, good rapport with quarterbacks, whether it's his time at Alabama with Jalen Hurts and Tua, or in the NFL with Josh Allen. I like the idea of just getting someone that's offensive minded. We go on and on about why I like Brian Daboll, but coming into this situation where the AD is on as thin of ice as possible. Like, I don't think that there is a AD who probably feels less confident in his standing at the university than Pat Kraft right now. So, like, on that end of things, I just don't know if it's smart to bring in Brian Daboll or whatever other outside candidate. I just don't know. And I don't love the idea of hiring Terry Smith either. Like, all of these are, like, I won't say they're all lose-lose, but, like, there's very low upside in any of them, and there's major downside in all of them. And that is now the point where Penn State's at. And it's, do you cut your losses with the Pat Kraft side of things and you say you take the interim tag off of Terry? You cannot do, like, a 1 or 2 year deal. Like, it can't be a, like, you at least need to
show. It's got to be at least 4 years. I'm thinking more five-year, $30 million deal.
Yeah. I mean, how do you sell the program to recruits?
So exactly.
Younger players with years of eligibility.
You have to give the illusion that he's going to be there your entire time. So,
yeah. So I, like, that's an important part of it, is knowing that it's not going to be a 1 or 2 year deal. And maybe you can do something with the buyout where, here's 6 years. I know you said 6 years, 30 million. Even say it's 5 years, 5 years, 40 million. Even let's say give him $8 million a year, but that the buyout is, like, so much lower after two seasons or something like that. I don't think, like, Terry is necessarily, like, set up for failure, especially if, like, the boosters that are coming around, like, really do stay and support him. Like, at the end of the day, like, if you have the money, the players will come, good or bad. It's just, this is such not an ideal scenario, and it was so avoidable. So avoidable. Just run a normal coaching search, like a normal AD, and target the guy and get the guy once he sends out the thamble tweet. This isn't that hard. Mm-hmm. He completely failed and now has put Penn State in a lose-lose scenario, situation, whatever it might be. So I go back and forth on what I want, because I still do like Brian Daboll as a candidate. I still, like, think that he can show up to a press conference and he can say, I don't care where I was as far as the option goes. I don't care if I was the backup option. I don't care if I was the 17th option. You know, this is where I want to be. I sent my son here. My daughter's here. You know, Penn State is a place that I look at, like, it's somewhere I can be long-term. It can, you know, it's family, blah, blah, blah. And maybe he can sell to the fan base the same way that Bill O'Brien did many years ago when people were upset about the Bill O'Brien hire. It's just, this should be a much different conversation we're having right now than it is. Tim, if you want to read this comment.
Yes, I got a comment. Liquid White Aerospace says, the donor money floodgates would open with Terry at the helm. Look at what happened with BYU to keep Satake. I mean, I do think it sounds like the donors, you know, really want Terry to be the guy, and they would certainly open up their pocketbooks, you know, to, you know, give them the NIL money they need and all that. And, you know, of course, I'm not going to try to compare it to the entire Mormon church or the Crumble Cookie CEO getting involved, but yeah, I mean, I think you would probably, I'm sure he would get a good amount of donor money if the donors have their way and Terry's the full-time hire. So that's going to be something I'm going to be keeping an eye out on. If indeed Terry Smith does get the interim tag removed, which sounds like there's a real push for that to happen. It sounds like it's either Dable gets hired, which means Kraft is still in charge, or Kraft is pushed. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a palace coup going on right now, if I'm being honest, just from how I'm reading things.
Yeah, and even from Kraft's perspective of why does he not want to hire Terry Smith? He knows that if he hires Kraft is trying to save his own job at this point. If he hires Brian Dable and Dable goes right, gets guys in the portal, gets us a big time quarterback from somewhere, is able to go 9-3 or 10-2 next year. That is something that Pat Kraft can point and say, "Hey, I'm the one who got us Brian Dable. I can keep my job." Right? That helps him in his career to keep his job at Penn State. No matter what happens with Terry Smith, it would almost be like Kraft like signing his death sentence. So I'm not trying to defend the guy because don't be selfish in this moment. But like, I think that's where we're at and why we're seeing so much of Pat Kraft not wanting to do Terry Smith at all, because there's like no upside for him. Even if Terry has success, it's not because of Kraft. And like now at this point, we for sure know, like, if Terry Smith gets the job, I'm not saying Penn State's going to fire Pat Kraft, but it could be a kind of what we always talked about with Franklin. Well, I say always, but kind of more so after the UCLA game, before we thought firing was possible, of like, push him out the door, see if you can find something else.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I mean, my thinking behind keeping Terry Smith is you keep more of the players who still have eligibility around. Like, it prevents, it was less likely to have a max exit towards a portal, which you would get if you brought in Brian Dable. Like, I can't see Brian Dable winning over a lot of the current guys. Now, like I said, Pat, maybe Dable being an NFL head coach. Look, I mean, those high school recruits, I mean, they can be impressionable when they see, like, oh, this guy coached in the NFL. Yeah. He knows what it takes to, you know, to get on a roster, to be successful in the league as a player. You know, he can help develop me and help me get drafted. So you maybe could have some success portal hunting those regards. You're also, I'm not sure how receptive the current guys in the roster, when I say current guys, the guys that aren't already, you know, out the door because they're going to the draft or they're just graduating or whatever. So yeah, like I said, Pat, it's just whoever they hire, it is a tough situation they're getting into.
No, yeah. it's sorry, Jerry. I just want to say just the timing of it, right? If nothing ever comes out about Kalani Sitake and on Sunday we get the notification from FAML that like Brian Dable was the choice, okay, maybe Penn State fans are upset. Maybe Terry Smith is upset. Maybe players are upset. But at least you have this showing of being a unified administration of Pat Kraft and Brian Dable, right? You can go to the media and say the only person we thought that we were going to get was Brian Dable, like that whole thing. We can't even do that. And that is like all the dramas in the public sphere, which is just not great.
Yeah. I don't know what goes to Sunday. I mean, if it's like, let's say if the donors have their way, you know, Kraft gets pushed aside and Terry's, I imagine that gets announced like maybe by Friday.
Yeah. And the point I want to bring up with Smith too, is it just kind of feels like we're past the point of no return with him, because it feels like if he was truly the guy that they wanted, or ultimately will be the guy, they would have decided that by now. They would have removed the interim tag by this point. You know, they could have said, we see what he's about and what he can do here. And this is the guy we want to lead our program. And now if that's the case, it's going to be because, you know, they've struck out in so many other options. And, you know, BYU's coach is still there, and all these other targets that they had have signed elsewhere in the meantime.
Yeah. No, I don't know, guys. This was just so royally screwed up. Something so simple, hiring a coach. Literally multiple programs do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing about it is that, like, you know, Auburn, Arkansas, South Florida, all these other programs have coaches that they're probably very happy with and that the fan base is extremely excited about. And
look at Florida. You know, they spent their entire time fawning over Lane Kiffin. And, mm-hmm. and, like, it's still fine. It's still fine. They got John Summerall. Like, they moved forward.
But they were smart enough, too, once they kind of realized, okay, like, this isn't going to work. We're not happy with
the
responsiveness. And we're just going to move on. And they kind of dropped out of the whole Lane race instead of waiting till he was signed at LSU and then scrambling to find someone else, like what Penn State's doing right now.
One of you might have said this already, and my apologies. I'm also trying to keep an eye on Twitter because I would love nothing more than to get some breaking news, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Excuse me. What do we think, like, the timeline is for this? Because I came on here last night and I said that I thought we'd have a pretty good, like, I wouldn't be shocked if we had something in the next 24 hours, at least, like, a pretty good idea of what was going to happen, and would be stunned if 48 hours from now, so, you know, tomorrow night, we still wouldn't know. I truthfully have, like, at this point, I mean, shout out Jackson Ford and Peyton Valzone recommitting to Penn State. Very, very funny. Virginia Tech to Penn State to Auburn to Penn State. Just loves not having.
I wonder what those two were told, Valzone and Ford, like as far as the coaching situation, because, you know, pretty bold of them to commit to a program that, you know, at least on as far as the public knows, is, you know, they don't have a permanent coach in place.
Falzone did say Terry Smith is a big reason why he flipped. Don't know what that means of any sort. Like, and Jackson Ford, I believe he comes from a Penn State family. I think he's grew up a Penn State fan. So I think it's just as simple as that. He was on one of the shows, I think CBS today. And I mean, just, you know, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. He could have went on there and said a whole bunch of bad stuff, but just did a really good job representing the program and the type of guy that you know, we love at Penn State. I've lost my train of thought. What were we
saying? Definitely, what the timeline? I mean, definitely, you know, I would latest like this Sunday, but I mean, here's the thing: it depends on who they're getting. If they're just gonna, like, let's say, if the board of trust, I mean, that board, the donors, are winning this tug of war battle, I imagine the next 24, 48 hours, we find out that it's going to be Terry full time. But if Kraft's winning this tug of war, then, you know, maybe we get something on, like I said, Pat, on Sunday, some news about Dable being the hire. So,
yeah, there's just like no, the portal isn't open until January 2nd. I mean, signing day is like completely over and done with. Like, there at least was something with Satake at some point where, again, as I said when first opened up the podcast, the show, that the BYU, he was telling BYU commits to not sign on Wednesday, allegedly. We don't know that for sure, but that was apparently it. So there was at least some sort of plan for Penn, even though, you know, Penn State didn't greatly care about the 2026 class, it seemed. There at least was the idea of, all right, we'll take a couple kids of whoever. I truthfully didn't even – I took a quick look at BYU's class. There were a lot of Utah kids, so I don't know how many would have followed, but right, at least there was some plan. I mean, now it really doesn't matter. It's Peyton Valzone, and it's Jackson Ford, and whenever a hire happens, you figure out with portal guys. But it feels like there needs to be an end game to this at some point soon. But then on the other hand, it's like there's also no rush. But I just don't know, like, what would you be waiting for? Right? Like, this whole, if there's another mystery candidate out there, like, and that is, like, even prior to all this, and I know I'm starting to ramble here, But like, I do think that there were a lot of Penn State fans who just like thought that there was this like perfect, oh, dude, let's just go hire the 38-year-old who has ties to Penn State, who has ties to Pennsylvania, who has won, you know, he's worked under Nick Saban, he's worked under Dan Lanning, and now he's at a Big 12 school, or he's at an ACC school, and he's gone 9-3, 9-3, 10-2. It's just like that candidate didn't exist in the first place. So it certainly doesn't exist now. Like, what would they be waiting for? Jared, what do you think of as far as timeline? When do you – what would you put, like, the over-under? Day?
I feel like I kind of just feel like they're scrambling, honestly. So I don't really have a good answer. Today's, what, Wednesday evening? So Logically, I'd say by the end of the weekend, but who knows at this point? I mean, the longer this stretches on, the worse they look. But at the same time, if they make a poor hire, then, you know, also not a great look either. So I don't know if they're in a really good situation right now. I think the only thing we can hope for is that, you know, Kraft has some tricks up his sleeve and there is, a like you said, a mystery can out there. I find that very hard to believe, but, you know, maybe we can hold out hope and we will find out something after the championship games wrap up this weekend, but it's not looking great. And I don't know when, you know, what the plan is and what the timeline is to expect right now.
My hope is Kraft has already been set aside by some other higher ups and they've taken over this process. Cause you know, I wouldn't trust Kraft to run a second grade bake sale at this point with how he's bungled this search. So
the problem is that they're all idiots as well. I'm not convinced that there's anyone smart that works at Penn State. Yeah.
Any worse than Kraft at this point? Like, I don't think so.
When you're in that position as an AD at a major college, that is primarily what you're judged for, is how you did on the football coaching search. You know, with that hire, are you bringing somebody that is going to win a lot of games and raise a lot of money? And the way this has played out, then, you know, obviously he's just failed at what is by far the most important part of his position.
I mean, so yes, you obviously need to, you want to be a good fundraiser, which seems like he was good at that. That was one thing that the previous AD, Sandy Barber, really struggled with. Because I remember this whole Beaver Stadium renovation thing was something she was trying to push for and just couldn't raise the funds for. So I give Kraft props for that. And apparently, you know, it did some good things for the non-revenue sports too. And, you know, so, but the only, again, it's like I said, Jared, I would just say when you're the AD at Penn State, really you have one job, and that's to make sure the football program is operating at the best it possibly can. And, you know, it is far from doing that right now.
It's not even, I mean, just be competent when it comes to the search, and he just
couldn't even do that.
Yeah, he wasn't like this is I've never seen anything like this. The fact that Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss stuff all happened and the LSU stuff all happened the same search, and it'll be a footnote of sorts. Like Penn State has taken the cake on the biggest you know what show in all of college football, and for no reason at all. Like, argue like where Penn State ranks as like jobs, right? Florida, LSU, Auburn. At least Penn State was kind of siloed off up in the, you know, the Northeast, the Big Ten, where, you know, for a lot of the candidates, I know we were looking at Kalani Sitake, so it truly was a national search, but like you would think you can find at least one person that wants to coach the football team and do it competently. And you just couldn't.
Oops. That's not the comment. Mike writes, search firm is the way to go. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Mike. There's a reason why almost every school I search for a coach hires a firm, because they're experienced with this process. And it's not just one guy writing the whole thing, especially a guy like Kraft, who thinks he's the smartest person in the room. And clearly, he's not.
No, certainly not. All right.
I want to bring up a point real quick. Yeah. Is that I feel like my expectations for this coaching search were fairly low to begin with, considering because I didn't, you know, there aren't a whole lot of national championship coaches out there that, you know, Penn State can just easily pull from. They probably weren't going to get a big swing like a Marcus Freeman or an Elko. I thought, you know, they should shoot for the moon, but what I expected was going to happen was they would end up with someone who overachieved at wherever they were currently at, whether it's a Louisville, you know, a Duke, a Vanderbilt, you know. So that's what I'm thinking. Okay, we'll end up with one of these coaches where we'll say, well, if they won 9 games there, then that will translate to, you know, a Big Ten championship at Penn State with the resources that we have. And, you know, just that basic fairly low expectation of just getting one of these guys that it's currently overachieving, not even a huge name, not someone who's won a national title, not someone who's necessarily won a conference title, just somebody who's, you know, gotten a program like a Vanderbilt or Georgia Tech to overachieve. And all those guys are either staying put or they've already signed elsewhere.
Yeah.
So no. I found a tweet. Speaking of coaching searches, I'll just share this with you guys.
While you're looking for that, Tim, I just want to say, yeah, like I had no problem. Like I talking with my friends, like in the lead up to the Satake stuff, I had no problem with like the process as it went, right? Like you fired Franklin when you did so that the buyout situation could be figured out and James could get a job, which did save Penn State some money. We also did it so that you can take your time, that you can see what happens at Alabama. You can see what happens at Texas A&M. Right. If one of these coaches just kind of falls in your lap, the same way that for Virginia Tech, right? James Franklin fell in their lap. Once that didn't happen, you still have to go and get a coach though. You have to make that hire. And he put his, you know, everything into Satake and it didn't work. But I would have been perfectly fine and happy with, like, again, anyone, Bob Chesley, Matt Campbell, Brent Key. I mean, even Drinkwitz, like, he was going to annoy the hell out of me, but I would be like, okay, like, whatever, like, let's go. Like, and we couldn't even do that. You couldn't even do that. The simplest of tasks. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Jared Gold tweeted about 40 minutes ago that a private flight from Teterboro Airport, a private airport just outside of New York City in New Jersey, has just arrived in State College. Wondering if maybe it's Brian Daboll.
This is actually the flight of Penn State men's basketball coach Mike Rhodes, who is visiting five-star guard Dylan Mingo. That's from Matt Fortuna. I saw that tweet. So yeah, it's basketball. Hey, Mingo brothers, they might be the stars of Penn State athletics coming up soon. Let's hopefully we can get Dylan, keep the other Mingo. And we'll take over basketball. We're basketball.
You know what? Just to go off on, I mean, I'm going to go off a little bit of a tangent here, but people were bashing. I saw people bashing Kraft for the basketball hire of Rhodes. Like, look, Rhodes was a fine hire when it was made. And he wasn't even the first choice, actually. They act Kraft, to his credit, he swung for the fences and went after TJ Otzelberger, Iowa State's coach, who's been pretty highly successful there. Like, that would have been a major coup if he had landed him. But you know, you don't get that, then I'll tell you, getting a VCU coach, that's not something that Penn State would have gotten in the past. And he was pretty successful at VCU at 3 NCAA tournament trips in his 6 years there. Obviously, you know, last year was a major bitter disappointment. Yeah, I think hopefully he learned his lesson from putting all of his eggs in the Ace Baldwin bucket. You know, that's water under the bridge at this point. He's got some promising young talent, but it's, you know, definitely needs some help up front. So hopefully you get some of that next year for the portal or whatever recruiting. So, and getting Caden Mingo's younger brother would be nice. Also help big time. So I really like Caden Mingo. And
I will also say with the basketball search, like I'm not trying to defend Pat Kraft, but like, Micah Shrewsbury, I think, partly was always looking for a way to get a Penn State. And I don't say that, like, negatively. Like, Penn State basketball, like, it's a tough
place. I never saw Shrews as a long-term guy there.
Yeah, like, and he wanted to, like, it was Notre Dame, you know, a good job in his home state. Like, Penn State fans like really like finding a scapegoat for like why, like it's not Penn State the institution's fault. It's this person's fault or this person's fault. Like I remember like, even when Bill O'Brien left to go to Texans and people were like trying to blame like Dave Joyner and Rodney Erickson. It's like, guys, he's going to the NFL. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. But so the Shrewsbury thing aside, which by the way, not doing that great at Notre Dame. Just gonna say that. Definitely not rooting against him. Wink, wink. Mike Rhodes was like exactly what Jared and I were just talking about. Like the quintessential. Like I wasn't the biggest fan of the Mike Rhodes hire. I probably would have gave it like a B just because I think his style of play kind of lends itself to more athletic, talented kids that I think Penn State can, you know, has some trouble getting. But besides the point, I still think it was like a fine hire. And like you said, Tim, like getting a VCU coach who won the A-10, I think twice, went to the NCAA tournament a couple times. Like that is a good, fine move and one that made complete sense on paper. And well, we're not doing a whole lot on paper with this football search. Final thoughts, guys. I'm going to put you guys, I know I sort of asked earlier, I'm going to ask again, not what you would do, but where do you think this ends? And Tim, I'll start with you because I feel like you're the most confident out of the three of us. give me a day or date, however you want to phrase it, and who the hire is. Where do you think this all ends up?
I'm going to say it's Wednesday, 7:50 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to say 9 o'clock tomorrow night, Thursday, December 4th. We'll get news that Pat Kraft's been fired and Terry Smith has the interim tag pulled from him and has like a 4 or 5 year contract to be the head man.
Jarrett?
I'll say Sunday, and I'm actually going to go with I don't want to say mystery candidate, but I'll just say I'll go with the field, which means not Dabble or Smith. I think there's something's going to be worked out. I'm not saying it's going to be like this, like, you know, seismic hiring where it's DeBoer or Marcus Freeman or anything like that. But I have a feeling it's going to be end up someone that we're not necessarily thinking of right now. And I think they'll get someone by this weekend, and it'll be a bit of a surprise.
I'm going to say tomorrow, late afternoon, and it's Brian Daboll. Because I unfortunately think that Penn State, right, the people that are above the upper administration, above Pat Kraft, I unfortunately think that they are completely stupid as well. And I would bet that they were involved in this talky thing as well. And they realize, now, of course, they could, you know, throw Pat Kraft under the bus. That's certainly not out of their own possibility. I mean, Neely Bendapudi, I say as a proud Penn State graduate, she loves firing people. It's her favorite thing in the world. So it wouldn't shock me at all. But I think that Kraft will have enough political power to hold on to his job. And they do the Dable thing. And You hope that he kills the press conference. I think people do have like an unfair view of Dable just because they, you know, short little guy that is bald and has a beard and kind of fat, and they don't think he's like a great personality. I think that he does have a pretty decent personality, and they see him yelling on the sidelines a lot. I don't think he'll be yelling at the press conference. So hopefully he can heal this fan base, man. Again, going back to the Bill Belichick tree of coaches to heal our fan base. Just go get a fiery Belichick, former Belichick assistant, and it's the Penn State playbook at this point. But yeah, I'll go with Dable. I truly have no idea, though. Nothing at all with John.
That's where I'm at. Yep.
I really don't know what the hell's going to happen either. I'm just spitballing. Really just trying to wish Kraft's firing tomorrow into existence.
Yeah, definitely screwed up. All right, before we go, I know I didn't tell you guys before, but we'll do three picks for conference championship week. We'll start with BYU at Texas Tech. I think it's at Texas Tech or Big 12. No, they do it at Jerry World, I think. Either way, not important. BYU plays Texas Tech. Texas Tech, they are 12.5 point favorites. Who do we got?
I'm taking Texas Tech. I'll lay the points. You know, BYU, it's only lost the season, but when they played Texas Tech about a month ago, they were completely outclassed by Tech. And, you know, I think Tech is probably the most talented team in the Big 12. And, you know, I don't know if BYU is necessarily going to be able to make adjustments to hang with them. So I think Texas Tech wins by at least a couple touchdowns like they did last time when they won by, well, I don't know what the – I can't remember if it was 34-6 or something along those lines, but it wasn't even close to being competitive.
Tim, what are you doing with the
– Oh, I'm not. I turned off the – it was on a stupid 10-second timer thing. I'm trying to –
Uh-oh.
I shut it off, so it should be –
All right, here, you go. I'll deal with it. BYU, yeah. Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm Texas Tech, mostly because I'm just still bitter about the whole Kalani Sitake cluster F. So give me the Red Raiders by 50.
I got too into Mormonism, and I believe in it. They have 12 apostles that are currently living. Didn't know that. So how can I go against the 12 apostles? I'll take BYU to cover the 12 and a half, as you know, shout out 12 apostles. Georgia, Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, is he coming to Penn State? Tim, I did think, I know that we talked about it, I said I would do an episode with egg all over my face if Kalen DeBoer came. I thought about just throwing eggs at my face tonight, but decided against it. So maybe we'll save that for something else. But Georgia, Alabama, SEC championship game. Jarrett, we'll start with you. Bama is a 2.5-point underdog, despite the fact that they did go to Georgia earlier this year and beat Georgia. What do you got?
Yeah, so that would make sense because, like you just said, Alabama beat Georgia on the road early in the season. It's actually the same day as the Penn State-Oregon game, if you can remember that far back when things were so much different for our program. But regardless, I think since then, Georgia's definitely improved as a team quite a bit. So I think Georgia's going to get some revenge and win this game by more than the field goal. So give me Georgia.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Georgia as well. I expect another tight game here, but I guess I'm going to go with the revenge factor.
Give me Alabama. This has been – I didn't get a lot right with my college football predictions this year. Alabama, I feel like I, like, absolutely freaking nailed where – I think that they were going to look like the best SEC team. They were going to lose a couple stupid games and kind of do the Ohio State thing, go into the playoff 10-2. Now they do make the SEC title game. So I like Alabama. I'll take Alabama to certainly cover, and I would take them to win outright as well. And last but not least, we have Indiana versus Ohio State, number 2 versus number 1. The Buckeyes are 4.5-point favorites. I am going to go with Ohio State. Tim?
Oh, I'm smashing Ohio State. Like, you should smash that awesome like and subscribe button if you like what you've been watching tonight.
Yes. That was better than my pause. Jared?
Yeah, clean sweep. I'm going to Ohio State. I think they win by double digits. Their defense is phenomenal. They play slow on offense where, you know, they really limit other teams' possessions. And even if you do keep the Ohio State's offense at bay for a little while, they're eventually going to, you know, break some plays with the talent they have. And with that defense, they're just not going to give up a whole lot. So, yeah, I think Ohio State's definitely going to win this game by a couple scores at least.
Last thing I want to share before we go. I feel like this is a good place for us to end. James Franklin on QB signee Troy Hoon out of California. We're going to emphasize throwers. We'd like to put an emphasis on that and open up our offense a little bit more. He's emphasizing throwers. This sounds like a quote. If I was talking to like my, you know, I don't have a 11-year-old nephew, but if I talked to like some 11-year-old, I'd be like, what's the Penn State offense? What would you like to see out of the quarterback? Be like, I'd like it if he was a thrower. Thank you, James. Don't ever change.
I'm pretty certain when I was like 4 years old and like I liked football but didn't really have like a grasp of it. Like I'm pretty certain that's I called people throwers and catchers.
Yeah, those are the throwers. And that's what James wants. Yeah.
Just James, the fact that he's talking about opening up the offense is just giving me some PTSD because I don't know how many times I thought, like, oh yeah, we got the pieces in place where the offense is gonna be so different this year. And then we play Ohio State or Michigan or a competent defense and just like cannot move the ball to save our lives. So
2 years ago, when Corey Geiger asked James about, you know, chucking it deep, it was like speaking Japanese. James, have you ever thought about recruiting a thrower at quarterback? He'd be like, oh, that's, I never thought of that. Thank you, James. I'm excited for the James Franklin Virginia Tech.
So before we wrap things up, I do want to bring up a quick point is sure. if we go back to the Sunday after of Northwestern, the day we hopped on after Franklin got fired, we went through what, about a dozen, maybe 14 coaching possibilities. And it was just kind of a quick short list of logical candidates of names out there. There were so many names that we looked at the time, and at least one of us, maybe two, maybe three, were like, well, I don't know if he'd be a good fit. I don't know if he's accomplished enough. I think all those names that we talked about, we would walk across barefoot across broken glass to get any of those guys at this point. So it was just amazing that we this is where we are, you know, 52 days later.
Yes, well said, Thomas James. Opening up the offense equals throwing interceptions each offensive series. Yes, I hope Virginia Tech fans are enjoying the signing day extravaganza thing. We'll see how much fun they're having about nine to 10 months from now when they actually have to start playing games on the field, and especially against some higher-ranked opponents.
Yeah, but Tim, what you're not understanding is they're emphasizing the quarterback being a thrower now. That's something that he didn't do.
Oh, again. As opposed to what, being a runner or being a, you know. how far are these guys throwing by? Are we talking like the 5 yards horizontal air raid that they were doing?
You know, the whole thing. We'll see. I'm sure we'll have lots of James Franklin content coming up in our future. All right, that's all I got. That's all we got. Penn State is the laughingstock of college football. We look like idiots. I know, like, I came on after the UCLA game and, you know, I guess not the Northwestern game, because by the time we got on, Franklin's fired. But, like, I personally felt like I needed to apologize because I look like an idiot. Pat Kraft, thank you for doing same thing, Pat. Really just making me look like an idiot. And by the way, can't absolutely. The fact that we share a name and even the initial, like, I see people say, like, PK is an idiot. And come on. I'm PK as well. But I am an idiot because I trusted Pat Kraft for no reason, apparently. And here I am now. Just big old idiot PK. All right. Subscribe to the channel. Like the video, please. Last time I checked, we are at 469. Nice. Subscribers. A very important thing. Once we get to 500 subscribers, we can monetize. We can start. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but we can monetize, which I think means that YouTube will start playing ads. So, I guess that's not a great way to get people to subscribe. But I would like to be able to monetize.
They play ads anyway, don't they? Like,
I don't think
so. I subscribed to premium a few months ago, so I've forgotten.
I'm not entirely sure on that. But either way, if we monetize. I promise I will not share any of the money with Jared or Tim. I'll keep it all for myself and, you know, all probably $12 that we will get from it. So, but no, please, anything that we make with monetization would obviously go towards the podcast and stuff like that and BSD in general. So please, we're not getting rich off this. We're going to barely be making any money, but it would be nice to get to 500 subscribers and just
we'll throw it towards the Fire Pack Craft Fund.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We'll donate to NIL at some point once we're the biggest, baddest podcast in the world. It's gonna be us and Joe Rogan just fighting for podcast of the year. So all right, subscribe, like the videos. Thank you guys for tuning in and being with us during this time. Again, we're all Penn State fans. Even if we have disagreements, we're all in the same boat here. So hopefully we get this figured out. There's brighter days ahead for Penn State, and I can confidently say that because it can't get much worse than this. Cannot get much worse than this. So we'll be on sometime in the future, hopefully with coaching, coach finalized, legally signed. So we will see you guys then.